All right, welcome to the Sprocket Podcast. We are here simplifying the good life. My name is Brock.
My name is Brandon.
And
Sorry,
I didn't mean to step on you.
I got so excited there. It's okay. You know, we're broadcasting from the People's Republic of Portland, nestled in the heart of Cascadia.
We are the show that brings you somewhat irreverent conversations about the intricacies of thinking locally with a global perspective and enjoying the best that life has to offer along the way.
We're covering day-to-day life, food, alcohol, bicycles, alternative transportation, arts, culture, communication, the internet, and variegated what have you.
Chuck roasts. You made a fantastic chuck. Is it a chuck roast? Is that what you call it?
It's a beef chuck.
Okay.
It's part of the shoulder of the cow. And,
Yeah.
I made a pot roast out of a beef chuck.
It turned out nicely.
Thank you.
I had a slight morsel of that before we began here. So.
Hat tip to Jacob Rohrer out in southwest Portland for teaching me the ways of that earlier this week.
Very nice. All right. Well, Jacob, if you're listening, we would like to thank you wholeheartedly with all of our stomachs.
Whole stomachly.
Yeah. Well, we got some stuff to get to. We've got drinks, I believe.
We do indeed. What are you going to be drinking tonight, Brock?
Let's see here. Do you want to tell people what we're talking about later first, or should I just
jump
right in?
Oh, I'm ready to open up the beers. Let's talk about that first.
First things first.
Yeah.
All right. Well, in my typical lowbrow fashion, I've got the Steel Reserve 211. It's the triple export in the big black can, and it's they say it's slow brewed for exceptional smooth flavor at 8.1% alcohol per volume. Actually, here, let me read you the slow brewed in limited batches using only the finest malted barley and selected hops. We believe this to be among the very best beers in the world. So, I guess every other beer and
it comes wine, in a wide mouth can.
Alcohol brewing company, they can all eat that. They can just be like, you know what? We already made it to the top.
We've been bested.
Yeah, it's Steel fucking Reserve,
if
baby.
If you call dibs on
so,
it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there we go.
Well, I'm drinking something from Alameda Brewery there, right here in Portland. It's the Papa Noel's Old Ale.
Very nice.
It's a dark label, dark beer with this obscure picture of Santa Claus, seeming pensive and thoughtful, like he's trying to explain something to in the middle of a breakup.
Wow!
And it's 7.2 percent by volume.
There you go. So you're actually approaching mine, and probably with much better flavor, I would think.
It may not be the best beer in the world. But
well, only Steel Reserve 211 is
that
at least among the very best beers in the world. So I guess that leaves some room.
Oh, okay.
There's always a possibility there. Yeah. Well, let's check them out and see how they do.
Right.
The weather has been really weird the past couple of days. There were rumors of a tornado. And I guess it's not rumors; it's confirmed. Mm-hmm. Something that happened down near Salem.
Yeah,
and
my dad almost got hit by it earlier
really?
Today. Actually, he had a business trip down to Eugene from Salem.
Oh,
and just got the email from the family earlier today. It touched down just after he left. So
really.
Yeah,
so
but he was already weaving through the accidents on the highway that had been caused by the wind and such. So,
wow.
Yeah.
So that's so he was away from home when it happened. Did that put him closer to the actual tornado site, or was he driving?
He was driving away from it
away
in his
from
rearview
it.
Mirror. Yeah.
Okay, so it wasn't like he was sitting at the house having his breakfast, and all of a sudden a cow's like,
pfft. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Bill Pullman. Yeah,
yeah, exactly. Through the window or whatever. Well, so this morning, the reason I bring up the weather, not because it's just a good filler conversation, although it is, but I was actually riding into work this morning, and when I left the house, I made a judgment call that I wasn't going to wear my rubber boots because I looked outside the door, it was only sprinkling, and ended up being a bit wetter than it was. Like here in our neighborhood at that point, here in that point, it wasn't bad. It was like sprinkly, misty sort of thing, like the thing you look out. And I thought, my first thought was, hey, this will be easy to bike through. I'll get damp, but I won't get soaked. So I took the Metropolitan Access Express and I rode that all the way to the Park Rose station. And then I got off, and by the time I got off the train, it was just raining like the Dickens. It was terrible. So I had to put on my rain gear, but I had left my boots at home, and without the boots, my feet just get soaked. So I rounded the bend down on a Marine Drive about halfway into my ride, and the rain was coming at 50 miles per hour horizontally at me from the south. which just never happens. I mean, sometimes there's
from
wind,
the south,
sometimes
said?
There's rain. Yeah, but it was like blowing off the airport, off the tarmac directly at me.
That's obscene.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't think it was the engines, the airplanes or anything. I think it was just, yeah. And anyway, so I got to the Sea Scout base, which is probably like the 50s block or something, except there aren't any intersecting streets. Mm-hmm. Marine Drive is the most desolate place, especially when it's wet and rainy. But I got there. And I was climbing up the hill, and that was when I kind of like I mounted the berm, so there was no longer anything between me and the wind, and it just hit me full in the face. And I let out this primal scream, like to no one in particular. Like I wasn't blaming God, and I wasn't like really angry at myself. I was just like angry at the elements, and so yeah, I crested the berm, and I said, just to no one.
Right, right.
So, anyways. It got a lot better, and I guess the insult to injury thing is like as soon as I got to work, the skies cleared, the heavens parted, and it, the sun didn't come out. The sun was in the opposite direction, but like it was dark and wet, and then all of a sudden, yeah, that was when I finally got to work, and then all the misery was over. So
it's a rough morning.
Those are the breaks. Have you had any exciting cycling experiences lately?
I've been taking the bus because I don't feel like having to deal with all that.
Indeed. You do have rubber boots, but they were punctured, right?
Yeah, well, I bought them for like $17 at Fred Meyer's, and yeah. I thought they would do their job with valor, but then I started using them to tromp through the bushes and pull out Blackberry.
Right.
And
Blackberries, they fight back.
It took but a single thorn to pierce them.
Well.
And now they're useless. It's like I need this like full, intact vulcanized rubber membrane. Namas!
Indeed. Well, yeah. What you need is a little Dutch boy just to sit down on your shoe and keep his finger in the hole so that...
Wow.
Yeah. All right. I've got some news things to get to here. We've got some interesting things happening in the world. So I'm just going to hop onto those real quick. Applicable kind of to your life, there's a group that's been started called Friends of Barber. And Barber That's Boulevard, right. It's kind of the main drag. I believe it's the 99E.
Mm-hmm.
No, the 99W, sorry. Going on the west side of the divide. And you ride up that quite frequently. My wife rides up it to go to work. Mm-hmm. Your lady friend lives up in that neighborhood, and so she rides up it. She's one of the, what was it? 9% of female riders. Like the 9% of the total ridership on Barber is female.
Right, yeah, it's a 4-lane state highway.
Yeah.
With bike lanes, which is great. But it's a fast road that's uphill and you go over a couple of little bridges cuz there's some gullies that go through.
Precisely.
And your bike lane not so much, and the sidewalk also not so much. So you have to be in traffic on a major state highway, which if you time it right and you bike a little erratically, it's all good.
Yeah, like on a weekend at like 8 p.m., it's fine.
Yeah, but it's not lit.
That's true, yeah. There's
the drivers maybe, but that part of the road, that bridge, is not lit, and you are in the... So,
yeah,
like,
is that the one?
Sprint.
Yeah, because there's like the place where the Fred Meyer is up there, and then down below there's like...
It's before then.
Burlingame Church or something. Mm-hmm, and between those two, there's all kinds of...
It's before the church.
Darkness.
Oh, I know what you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, there's all kinds of spots out there where it's high-speed traffic, poorly lit, and all that. So anyways, the Friends of Barber Group, and I'm trying to think here. There's a guy named Keel, and I want to get his last name so he can be famous. Keel Johnson. He's a guy that started the group called Friends of Barber, and they're pushing for some bicycle improvements. Like the graphic on the story here has like a separated cycle track, so a different elevation, place for bikes to ride where they're separate from traffic, so that on the highway they don't have to deal with as much perhaps danger and maybe some more visual separation. So. I think that's a great idea. So good luck to the Friends of Barber. And that is number one in the stories from bikeportland.org. Thanks to Jonathan Moss.
That's
so next one up. There's a bicycle accidents victim fund in Colorado that's been started. And I guess the short version of it is just that there's a group of lawyers and people who know legal, and they're starting a lobby for people who get into bike accidents and may not be able to pay their medical expenses or like damaged equipment, like if their bicycle gets smashed up in a wreck and they can't afford to pay for it, and the guy, say the person who drives the car and hits the bicycle, if they end up driving away or not having insurance or any number of things. It's just a group that's kind of been installed to kind of help people in a bad situation who may not be able to speak up for themselves or may not be able to represent themselves well in the legal system. It's a way for that to happen. So good on Colorado.
Absolutely.
And then in Long Beach, California, I was just reading about this a couple minutes before we started here. There's an old law on the books. It's kind of like in Seattle. I remember hearing there's a law where if you carry a concealed weapon, it may not be more than 7 feet in length. So that's one of those ones that, for whatever reason, it doesn't...
How long is a bazooka?
Exactly, yeah. And I would assume that you run into the pure logistical problem of it being 7 feet long and you probably not being that long yourself. So,
as the girl said.
Indeed. By the way, yeah, this is, Hitchcock in 29?
Yep. The girl,
I apologize. I should have been ready for that one. The law in Long Beach, California was that you had to register your bike. Any cyclist who lives in Long Beach is required by law to make their bicycle's presence in the city and its ownership known and a matter of public record with the police department. And for a long time, it seems like people have kind of been unhappy with that because it seems to be... more often than being able to recover a stolen bike, sometimes that happens, but more often than that, it's kind of a way for the police to harass someone on a bicycle. Mm-hmm. And if they suspect a bicyclist of being any sort of criminal, the least amount of offense, right, they can just say, hey, let me see your bicycle registration. And a lot of people are saying, hey, it just makes it pretty damn inconvenient to be bicycling in Long Beach. So they've overturned that. I think they've made it optional. You can register your bicycle if you want to, but you don't have to. Hmm. Yeah, I remember we rode through Long Beach last summer of 2009. So no, it's not last summer anymore, but like a year ago, a little bit more. And Long Beach, it's a fine town. We've got friends there, and they're in a band. They do good things, and it seems like a fun place to hang out.
Sounds like a great law and a good shift to, deflate the cops trying to rough people up and meet their quotas. You know, it's like
right.
Good on the cops, but that ain't fair game. You know.
Yeah, well, that's an example of a law that I'm sure at one point had probably very useful implications, mm-hmm. and it has long outlived its usefulness.
And now it's just being abused.
Indeed. So good work on Long Beach for making things better.
That's great.
So that's all. Oh, and there's one more thing. It's not really a news item as much as it is just an announcement, but bikeportland.org, courtesy of Jonathan Moss. Thank you, sir. He's got this little post about Soup Cycle. It's a company that delivers soup by bicycle here in Portland.
That's great.
And they're hiring a person to deliver soup. So basically, you write to them. You say, hey, let's get together. You send them a three-paragraph thing, something like that, explaining who you are, why you want to work for Soup Cycle, what your bicycling experience has been, and they review that. So if you're interested in being a Soup Cycler here in Portland, you very well could be the person who pulls a trailer and shows up with hot steaming soup at someone's door, which would be awesome.
That's right.
So that's our bike news. And I think probably going to take a musical break here.
That's right.
Give you
an idea of what we're going to be talking about.
Oh, yeah. Let's do that before we go.
Yeah, we got so into the beer.
See, indeed. We got really excited about that.
I know. It's true.
After all, it is among the very best beers in the world.
Indeed. So that is good beer.
Mm. Mine's all right. It's smooth.
It's not among the best beers in the world.
It does have the definitive lack of taste characteristics.
Oh, well, there you have it. But it's quaffable. Okay.
Yeah.
So the conversation we're going to be having after the break is looking at how we muddle these words together and maybe how we could parse them out. These ideas of simplicity, sustainability, minimalism, you know, techno-thoughtfulness, Luddite-ness, you know, they all blur together quite a bit. And sometimes you get People, you're talking about one of them, and people hear the other one, and it's worth just exploring. You know, we're about, you know, simplifying the good life, and yeah, we're going to just start talking through that because it's something that'll come up in our conversations, in our interviews, in future podcasts.
Yeah, we're laying some groundwork here.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. All right, well, here's our musical break. This is a local band in Portland called the Carrier Pigeons. I'm acquaintance of the lead singer, John Van Beek. He is a classy gentleman and a good musician at that. This song is called www. Did I say three W's? Dot. And it's from their Unfinished Business EP. You can find them on the internet at myspace.com/thecarrierpigeons. And here is www.
Basking in your cool glow, you're indifferent, yeah, I know. Yet here I am enamored with all these endless things that flow from you to me. How'd we come to be so close? I find it oh so hard to go. Tell me I'm in control of all these little seeds you sow. But you're stealing my words and you're raping my mind. You're just a worldwide waste of my time. And with your user-friendliness, you gladly guide me and there I go. Sometimes you send me in circles, at times fast, at others slow. But you, where are you? Well, you can tell me everything, it seems there is to know. And as for what these eyes can see, you show all there is to show. But you're stealing my arms and you're raping my mind. You're just a worldwide waste of my time. And the world's at my fingertips when you get turned on. I forget to ask myself, am I the king? Or just a pawn? Well, you're stealing my arms and you're raping my mind. You're just a worldwide waste of my time.
And we are back on the Sprocket Podcast. We forgot to mention at the beginning, we were so excited about our drinks that you can actually find us online at thesprocket.podbean.com. That's our website. You can shoot us an email at thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com. And we have a phone number, which I have not memorized. It's, and I'm hoping you have it right there in front of you.
It's 503-847-9774.
Right.
503-847-9774. And again, you can find that on the website as well.
Yeah, it's thesprocket.podbean.com. So, without further ado, let's hop into this discussion a little bit and talk about the simplicity thing.
Yeah. So, like,
as I guess, we always do.
Indeed. So, Yeah, I guess just reflecting on my own life and story, like I've realized that, like when I was in college, going into college, I was really into like, you know, I was pretty materialistic and into cars, and like my room in high school had all these pictures of like race cars and
really,
that's
awesome.
I really like I like them. And I can still tell you what my favorite car is a I think 59 Porsche 356A.
There we go.
Speedster, yeah.
Nice. Right. I bet that was a sexy car.
It's a good car. You should Google that.
Yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, the other thing that you know a couple things about that I never would have guessed was guns. We were watching we were watching the zombie TV show and you know, he pulls out some sort of weapon and you're like, "Oh, it's a, you know, model name number and
the 357 Magnum."
Exactly. And I looked over at you and it just didn't compute.
Oh, my best friend in high school was really into guns and cars, and so I just sort of capitulated to that.
Guns, cars, and women. That's that's what life is like in high school.
Well, priorities there.
But anyway, so you moved on from that.
Well, you know, and I began to reevaluate, like, well, how does this impact other people's lives? How does it impact the life cycles of the land of creation?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, began to question the justice and sustainability and aesthetics of sort of this gluttony of stuff.
Yeah.
And, I realized that there's some big problems there, and I was just bothered by it, and I refused to buy hardly anything. I would still play my video games here and there, and I would still, you know, I had a computer and all that.
Yeah, as we all did.
Yeah, but I refused to get like an iPod, and it was like, I remember the first time I got an iPod was like this monumental,
right,
like Rubicon.
So the iPod thing was out of principle, like even though you could afford it,
and it's not like it's this big like burden on the earth. I mean, some of those minerals are actually pretty hard to get, and they come from dubious places. And
indeed,
such.
And made with dubious methods, perhaps.
Indeed. But not dubious quality.
Indeed, that's the finest thing you can own.
It was more the peer pressure, like the sense that like you're not a real college student unless you have one of these doohickeys, and sort of the status symbol of it all, and like people walking around playing with it instead of looking at the sky and the birds and the trees and stuff.
Yeah,
it's like, shit, come on, people, like enjoy life. And that bothered me, and then I began to rationalize. Well, I like to garden a lot. Maybe I could listen to things. Lectures or music or sermons or the news or whatever on it, or I ride my bike a lot, so it was a way to like it was garnish on the things that I felt like were sort of filling up my good meter.
Sure.
And so I got that, but
so your life is sustainable enough in certain places,
but then. I've got like the spasm between like wanting to be a hobbit and like wanting to like pay homage to Steve Jobs. It's really quite
pathetic.
And
wanting to be effing Tron.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I want to be Tron.
Yeah.
Do I be the dude, or do I be the Jeff Bridges character in Tron?
Yeah. Indeed.
So, I guess my life, like, I have no resolve in it yet, but I've gone through a few different phases.
There you go.
You know, like, there's this idea I hear out there that we have quite a few common friends who are into simplicity sort of as a spiritual discipline.
Yeah.
Like this stuff keeps me from it keeps me from hearing myself, from hearing the spirit, hearing God, hearing other people in my life, having all this clutter and crud.
Right. And no matter what your stripe, like whether you tend to be a more traditional American spiritualist or if you if you subscribe to any number of other venues, it seems like that's a principle that kind of applies across the board. Like,
oh, for real.
The more noise you have and the more distraction you have, the less centered you become.
Definitely. And I found that to be true in my own life, and I have to unplug from time to time, and I could probably afford to unplug more regularly.
Uh-huh.
So there's the spirituality thing, and the other values are perhaps more peripheral to it.
Sure.
Then there's this idea of like minimalism, and it's like this aesthetic thing.
Yeah.
Sort of like this, like, I'm going to order my apartments in a very zen-like Steve Jobs kind of, ooh, right?
I remember hearing about people who have apartments without furniture, like, because it changes the playing field.
Yeah, and it's like this, like,
and you never run out of seats.
Adoration of efficiency and, impracticality, and, it's cool. And occasionally I'll use that as to garnish something about my room or life or whatever.
Sure.
And then there's like really the doorway for me was this was the sustainability and justice issues, and that continues to be what drives me to variously resist purchasing too much stuff. And then you know there's also like the techno-powered hobo, right? Like, you know, like I want to be able to be as mobile as possible.
Indeed.
Or I'm moving around every few years, and so I want to be able to be as efficient as possible. So technology and the stuff I carry with me is able to, I'm able to carry.
Sure.
All the way, I mean, an extreme version of this is there's a homeless fellow in Paris, I believe.
I remember you telling me about this.
Yeah, he it's amazing. He blogs and does that sort of business.
He's a social media literate hobo.
That's right.
Is hobo still an acceptable term?
I
always think of like the train hoppers in like the 40s or something. But
go to the sprocket.podbean.com and tell us.
Okay, yeah. Please let us know if we've offended anyone. If there's a hobo with an iPad listening to us right now, we just want to call you by your acceptable name.
And then you just showed the hand there. Yeah, the end of the story is crazy here because he's hanging out at a McDonald's most of the time wherever there's free Wi-Fi.
Sure.
And he has an iPad.
And probably like the cheapest rent of space, like you buy yourself a 99-cent soda that you can refill,
mm-hmm.
and then you sit in a booth.
That's exactly what he does. I think he gets the McCoffee because they have the McCafe.
That's right.
There now. So Mick. So that's his shtick, and you know, he makes his money off the AdWords and all that. So he's totally capitulating to the man insofar as he's at McDonald's and he's making money off of the Google ads and all that.
So
sort
he
of stuff.
So he's spanging electronically.
Spanging.
Like spare changing.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Well, he's not getting all up in your face and playing the hobo.
Sure,
like he's able to do the quasi nomadic thing and like not have to worry about basic necessities to a degree. Anyhow, I think it's just a really interesting example where he chooses to be homeless out of principle.
Yeah,
but what systems of technology he works with, he has no problem with.
Uh huh. Like they don't present an ethical dilemma or anything.
Yeah, and that's cool. Yeah. So I feel like those are probably the big schools of all of this. And I don't know, Brock, what are some of the, do any of those stand out for you? Because there's also,
Sure.
I want to just say one last one. It's the one I think you might be.
Okay.
It's
identify me. Call me out in front of all the people on the internet.
I'm putting you in a box.
Okay.
Brock in a box.
Manamana.
That could be on the soundboard too. There's this technology is neither good nor bad. It's a attempt, like it's a discerning process.
Sure, right.
Of like, I'm gonna be really conscious of how I let it affect how I relate to people.
Uh huh. Yeah, for sure.
And I'm not gonna let it, molest that part of my life.
Sure, yeah. Well, we already covered that a little bit in the first episode with the cell phone ethic, because I refuse to let a ringing cell phone in my pocket take me away from the people that I'm nearby. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I've found a balance with that I'm pretty comfortable with. But there's also, I mean, there's any number of different ways in which we have that tension, which we have a high value of simplicity and life face-to-face rather than life separated.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, Facebook is effing awesome because you can look into everybody else's lives anytime you want to. Trying to find what that balance should be, because I don't think Facebook is a problem necessarily, unless...
I'm ambivalent.
Sure, unless you get off on voyeurism and you just want to live through other people's lives, because it's very easy.
Or narcissism, too.
Right? Oh, sure. It's either looking at other people's lives or just looking at your own status updates.
Yeah, masturbatory sense of it all.
Sure, yeah, like I... Yeah. This is equal parts sweet and beautiful and ridiculous, because I for my birthday last year I had basically live blogged our bicycle tour down the West Coast.
That's right.
And That's right. My wife Adele, bless her heart, she took all the status updates off of Facebook and printed them out on paper, and then she bound them up in this sweet little handmade thing. So we had all of the little status updates from the entire trip printed and bound and presented. So that was a beautifully sweet gesture. But then, like, my favorite thing to do is pull that thing out and say, oh, look at that thing. I wrote it so funny. And so there's, yeah.
Navel gazing.
Exactly. Right. Navel gazing is easier than perhaps it ought to be. So, I don't know. I'm sure there are many other things, but we should continue.
Yeah, no. Well, I'm curious. You know, there's the spiritual simplicity thing. There's the minimalism thing. The aesthetic more.
Sure.
Hell, there's also being cheap.
Indeed, and that's the primary motivator, in fact, for like bicycling around. I mean, we could have a car if we wanted one. We could probably afford it, but we wouldn't have nearly as much discretionary money as we do now. And in fact, that was, in some ways, like when Adele and I were dating, and I remember giving her a compliment. I said, you know, it's so great that you bike everywhere, because she had moved out here from Boston all on her own, not knowing anybody, and she just bought a bicycle off of Craigslist for like $20, and it lasted a month, by the way.
Oof.
But she was riding around town.
Insurance.
Still cheaper than insurance, it's true. But she was riding around town, and I thought that was pretty great. And so one night, as I was driving her home, because I still had a car at that point, I was pretty tied to it. Exactly. I was driving her home, and I was like, you know, this is so great that you're riding a bike everywhere. And she was like, well, you know, I'd sure drive a car if I could afford one, man. You know, and I meant it to be a compliment, but I think it turned into this, like, you know, like, don't criticize my lack of resources and means.
Well, because like there's this sense in our society where like membership in society, functional membership,
right,
demands a motor vehicle. Like if you don't have that, it's either because you poe or you just strange. You're not American if you
poe
don't
like the sandwich.
No,
PO apostrophe.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Without resources.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's this need to like compensate for it, like when people
sure.
say it. It's like it's initially probably like just like she was back then. You know,
yeah.
Taking it is sort of a insulting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and to her credit now, I mean she is philosophically very committed to bicycling, and she does just fine without a car. I don't think she even wants one anymore. But that was her own process, and I'm sure at some point we'll have her talk about that. But
right,
yeah.
So, have you gone through any of those different phases, like the sustainability justice thing, the aesthetic, like, or is it just the sheer pragmatism? And
yeah, well, I think, I don't know, I try and look at life as a whole piece, and so I figure if it can all be tied up together in one big ball of wax, I guess that's the ideal.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm trying to do, different kind of wax. Think of sealing wax. yeah.
Cricket noise, please.
Oh, I don't have it. Fail. So, no, I just I think there are social reasons for things that I do stuff. There's the pragmatic, like the really practical things. The saying, hey, this will save me money. And then there's also, I don't know, just like things that I like. Like I'm a lazy person by nature, and I hate exercise. And so, if I didn't bicycle, I would have the largest ass of anybody I know. And so that's a purely self-centered reason, but it kind of ties in with all the others, you know, because I have certain opinions about, say, how we obtain our motor fuel and the ways that ties in. Like, you know, if other people have to endure conflict and suffering and that sort of thing just so we can get easier access to our fuel, I don't want to be a part of that.
Right.
But at the same time, if I don't ride a bike, I'm going to expand. I'll explode. I'll just get huge. So
so it's good for you and it's good for other people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I guess that's probably, I don't know, it seems like that's a good...
Well, and you can sort of like lean between one and the other. Like I find myself finding a lot of meaning
sure.
at certain times, like especially earlier years of my life where like I would put on all my rain gear and I felt like this is me putting on my, like... This is me putting on my army fatigues. I'm.
Yeah.
This is me doing some sort of like war against the machine.
Uh huh.
Like, and that charged me to do it all the more, and
yeah.
gave me the inertia. Where now it's like, also it's frankly pleasant.
Mm-hmm. And it seems too. Like, I guess if I want to see good happen in the world, I want to see change. First of all, I must be the change you want to see in the world, as the bumper sticker says, and I think Gandhi
said
that.
That sounded exactly like Gandhi.
Thank you.
That was actually off the soundboard.
Spent some time with him, but I didn't spend any time with him. I did. I didn't. But we ended up... I was so busy being funny, I lost my train of thought.
Fuck it.
Okay. But yeah, if you're going to have like a, you're trying to convince somebody, you want them to be a better person. You want to see them improve, and you want to see the world improve through other people around you. Those various different reasons, it seems, can be good ways to promote your cause. And they don't have to agree with all your reasons to pick up that change or to become a slightly better person.
Right.
So say I have a friend who doesn't really care much about the oil thing, and they don't believe that that war and oil are so inextricably connected.
War is awesome.
Well, yeah, it could be. I mean, especially if you're playing the video games and whatnot, it's a way of life. So yeah, but say they don't agree with my point on that, but they share a passion for being fit and not expanding, and so I would say that you know, if they're going to start bicycling, if I want to say, hey, this is something that you might want to do, they're not going to agree with me on the philosophy of war, but they may agree with me on the need for exercise. So mm-hmm. It seems like there's a lot of different aspects like that, intersecting planes.
It's so fun to see people's like paradigm shatter. Like when I say, like, you know what, I bike 7 miles each way to work.
Yeah,
and like I don't watch what I eat. You know, I don't go to a gym. They're paying $40 a month to go to a gym,
right?
You know, and to go to a spin class. I understand during the winter that's tempting.
Spin class.
You have somebody training you. Yeah, it's
that's hilarious.
Sounds interesting. Yeah, I'm
no haters. No, I don't want to hate on the spin class.
No, I'm just sure we're gigglers.
It's probably really useful to some people who can't afford.
Oh, during
good
the
bikes.
Winter, just like, I mean, your story this morning. Like, you know, shit happens. And
I was
like,
spinning out there on Marine Drive.
Yeah. Well, what was the noise?
And
you
screaming.
You screamed.
Yeah, that's right.
No. Okay. Yeah. Well.
That's just like
true.
That.
Yeah.
But yeah, that it's good for what it's good for.
But it breaks the paradigm, because it's like, you know, you can be paying $40 to the gym. You can drive to the gym,
yeah,
in your car, yeah, 20 minutes each way, and then have to be paying your insurance, paying your gas, paying your car maintenance, or you can just ride to work every day and like don't have to be that uptight about getting the Michelob Light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's a hilarious advertising campaign anyway.
Isn't it?
That's for a different time.
Yeah, and how? So it's remarkably freeing. It gives me actually less stress in life.
Sure.
I don't have to worry about, oh, shit, I need exercise.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, I need healthier food.
Yeah.
I do try and eat healthy, but not because of my weight.
Yeah. Well, let me say, just about the beer ad. This is the first time I've ever seen an exposed midriff in which it wasn't... It wasn't a sexualized, strictly bare midriff. It was more saying, this is the midriff you will have if you drink this product.
Exactly.
As opposed to, this is the midriff you will be with if you drink this product.
Yeah, yeah.
Hilarious. Well, we should probably wrap this up soon, just for the patience of all
for
involved.
For simplicity's
sake. Yeah, indeed. But let's maybe wrap just as far, you wanted to talk a little bit about maybe some really practical applications. We talked about the bicycling thing. But as far as like how do we discern how to use the things that we've got, all the high tech, the gadgets and whatnot.
Well, I definitely saved my own current preference of it all for last. While I do generally operate through the sustainability justice paradigm and try and let that be a pretty good veto and check on things.
Yeah.
To me, it's about like, okay, how is this technology impacting how I'm relating to somebody?
Yeah.
Who's right in front of me, or who's on the other end of the thing? Mm-hmm. You know, and that's why it's like, I hadn't sent a text message until middle of August this year.
That's true, Matt. You were a holdout.
I remember
I was trying to get you to send a text message I guess I like to F with people, so that's
yeah, no, it's good. But I realized I was being a dick at the end of the day.
It was like the principle had outweighed the usefulness of the practice.
Yeah, you know, what bothered me was people like will pull out their phone and like send a text message while you're talking to
right
them. It's
in
like,
front of you. Yeah.
I'm right here, exactly. Sal. Come on, here we go.
Yeah, that still bothers me.
Yeah, and it still does, but you know, I realize that like nobody in my immediate circles, it's not like I'm enabling that sort of behavior. I'll just send text messages when it's appropriate.
Uh-huh.
Instead of doing this very black and white thing where it's like, fuck text messaging.
Right.
That's not the right like grammar for how to relate to technology.
Sure.
I think a much better new.
Nor is it appropriate language.
Thank you.
But yeah, that's another thing entirely. That's why it says explicit on the iTunes tag.
Exactly. We're sorry. you know, I want to have a bit more nuanced thing where it's like, it's not whether you text message.
Sure.
It may be appropriate to sort of caricaturize the position and refuse it. I think caricaturing to bring people in the right direction.
Yeah.
Is appropriate in almost all things, like in a particularly gluttonous society, be particularly minimal on what you're eating.
Sure.
You know, like not necessarily a moderated position, but you have to talk in a louder voice.
Yeah. Yeah.
In all these things. And so that's how I see like text messaging is like, I'm just not going to like pull it out and
exactly. Unless you've reached a great breaking point and you're kind of moving along socially, like you've kind of had your interaction and you're preparing to depart or you're.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, in all things discernment and throw it around with your friends.
Yeah.
Like, don't just make this decision in your head. Like, share it with other people. Mm-hmm. Share with people who share your dispositions.
Right.
Of willingness to question technology, not the people who are like, it's great.
Right, right.
But like, talk it through, like have a meaningful conversation, and it's always worth it because it's surprising how much we relate to each other only through artificial things.
Right, right. Yeah. And it seems like a question is a way better way to have that that conversation than a declarative statement. Like, you know, what do you think about text messaging? What's your philosophy on text messaging? As opposed to stop effing text messaging.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's just standoffish and fundamentalist-esque.
Right, right.
And having more dialectic is helpful.
And we know how much fun fundamentalism is. And how effective.
Mm.
Well, there you go. Well, tell me about your beer.
On the note of fundamentalism, I have to say it's outstanding. I am so proud to be a Portlander when I drink this beer.
It's great.
Papa Noel's Old Ale, Alameda Brewing.
Alameda, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's, Alameda Street is my ride home every day, at least currently. So
it's medium bodied. It's got a warm middle and then ends on some really great honey notes.
Look at you describing it all flowery.
What the hell are you drinking?
The Steel Reserve 211?
Yeah. Yes. Pardon me for not remembering.
Well, maybe this is just because I tasted your beer, but mine feels pretty flat. if you had a fantastic looking waveform on your beer, mine was like bzzz. So what can you do? But effective to a certain purpose. And if it is indeed among the very best beers in the world, it's probably towards the bottom. But once again, it's not unpleasant. And it's not repulsive. I have had some that, quite honestly, the Four Loko, that stuff does not taste good. I'll say it right now. It's not amazing. It tastes like Kool-Aid. An ass.
cool ass.
Yeah, but this one doesn't have, it's not as offensive as that. So
sure.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty much it. So we're gonna take off here. We're gonna let you go back to your life, and I want to pull up the closing theme music on the third try. I got it. Wow. There we go. We got some ways for you to find us on the internet. It's http://thesprocket.podbean.com. That's our website. You can find us there. From there, you can find us on Facebook. You can like us if you want to. It's a good way to let other people know that there's something that you're enjoying listening to. You can send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Love to hear your suggestions for drinks, topics, potential guests. And that email address is thesprocketpodcast@gmail.com. The phone number. Brandon, this will be your job on the podcast.
It's 503-847-9774.
There we go. Yeah, so that's the end of it, and we will see you next week. This is also probably the last thing we release before Christmas time, so happy Christmas to all you out there in podcast land.
Happy birthday, Jesus.
That's right, and we love you all. We'll see you after the holidays. Cheers.